Everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour editorial. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabel, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour, an editorial review, is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour, an editorial review, brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on real milk. When we come back. You know, during World War II, our parents and grandparents planted victory gardens that helped to provide their own food and fiber for themselves and for our country. Well, today, more than half of the food that we eat is imported from outside of our borders. Our food is produced from hybrid seed that will not reproduce, and it is nutritionally deficient. Adolf Steinbrom of Fairbanks, Iowa, put the matter into perspective by having samples of corn tested for nutrients usually added to commercial feeds. And when compared to more than 4,000 samples of hybrid corn tested in 10 Midwest states in a recent year, Steinbrom's open-pollinated corn contained 75% more crude protein, 875% more copper, 345% more iron, and 205% more manganese. And the same result has also been seen in the content of calcium, sodium, magnesium, and zinc. And in the opinion of many ecologic farmers, hybrid seed merely masks poor farming practices by producing bins and bushels of foodless food without the nutrients that are really food's reason for being in the first place. Now, if you'd like to know more about this multinational corporate monopoly of our seed and food supplies and how you can become independent from them, why don't you call and order my free General Law CD package? That's the place to start. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. Remember, it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. And you can call right now. The number is 417-273-4967. If you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send us an email for that free General Law CD package. Again, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Why don't you do it right now before you forget? In the May issue of the Acres USA magazine, that's May of 2006, an interesting article here concerning real milk for real people. When I use the term real milk, I am talking about raw milk, unpasteurized, non-homogenized milk, a product that most of you people would probably wince at, gag at the thought of, and totally reject the concept of drinking milk that was not pasteurized. Well, Sally Fallon is the founder of a campaign for real milk and president of the Weston A. Price Foundation, and she's the editor of the foundation's quarterly magazine, Wise Traditions in Food, Farming, and the Healing Arts, author with Mary G. Enig of the popular Nourishing Traditions cookbook, and has published articles in a number of alternative health publications, including Nexus magazine. The World and I and the Townsend Letter for Doctors and Patients, a resident of Washington, D.C., she's the mother of four healthy children. And I'm going to underline the word healthy children. I presume this woman feeds those healthy children raw milk. This is an interview by Acres USA of Sally Fallon. And the first question posed by Acres was this. They asked, as a food and nutrition specialist, what is your assessment of the fresh, raw milk situation in the United States today? And Mrs. Fallon said, well, first of all, it is a situation of escalating demand and also increasing supply. When we set up the campaign for real milk back in 1989 and started the website, we had not more than a page of sources for raw milk. Whereas if you look today, you will see dozens and dozens of pages of sources of raw milk. So in that respect, it's just been fantastic. And what I'm concerned about is the escalating attempts by government agencies to stop this movement. We are now seeing challenges to the cow share programs in many states, and even attacks on farmers, and of course various types of legislation, such as the National Animal Identification System, and a bill that would so-called harmonize all the health regulations in various states, which basically means to get rid of these laws. So there are really going to be some challenges coming up. Let me pause right here, put a bracket around that paragraph, and suggest that if some of you out there in radio land are saying to yourself, oh my God, you mean there is a source for raw milk? And if so, where would that be? Where in my locality could I get raw milk? So let me turn here to the back page. Let me see if I can find it. Here we are. Sally Fallon's Nourishing Traditions is available from the Acres USA bookstore for $25 plus shipping. To order, call toll-free 1-800-355-5313, or you can go to the www.acresusa.com for more information. All right, now, if you want to know about where in your location you might find this list of dairies that produce raw milk in your local area, it's the Weston A. Price Foundation. Can be contacted at PMB106-380, 4200 Wisconsin Avenue Northwest, Washington, D.C., and the zip code is 20016. And I've got a phone number. Phone number is 202-363-4394. I always like telephone numbers because I can get on the horn and I can call them direct and say, I heard this crazy lunatic on the radio, and he said that you have a list of dairies around the country, and I live in California, or I live in Washington, Oregon, or Florida, or Pennsylvania, and I'd like to buy raw milk, and they'll probably tell you exactly where it is, or probably for two bits in the box top, send you one. They've got an email also, and it's called emailinfo@westonaprice.org. And then their website is www.westonaprice, all one word, westonaprice.org. And I imagine if you went to the website, you'd probably get their email address there. It's emailinfo@westonaprice.org. All right, now I'll give you a little something to work on there and tell you, well, maybe I could get raw milk in my local area. Is legal challenges, Acres asks, Fallon, legal and political challenges are being made against raw milk, and I think we need a twofold strategy for this. One is to just keep increasing the demand, that is the consumer demand. Mark McAfee at Organic Pastures Dairy likes to talk about what he calls passionate moms. These are the mothers who found out that what a wonderful food raw milk is for their children. When children drink raw milk rather than commercial milk, their asthma goes away, or their autism improves, or their behavior improves, or their allergies disappear. Let me pause right there with that comment for many of you people out there that are untutored in raw milk. And you're saying to yourself, my God, I need to write my congressman and have legislation enacted to ban raw milk from America. Well, let me ask you, ladies and gentlemen, what would you think if I wrote to my senator and said I want to ban pasteurized milk from America? Is there any room for us to have free choice? Now, I know that you advocates of pasteurized milk are wiser, smarter, more intelligent people than those of us who drink raw milk and advocate raw milk. But in the interest of free speech, you know, one of the founding principles of American republicanism or American democracy, however you want to word it, is free speech. First Amendment right to freedom of the press and free speech. Would it be all right with you if I drank that dirty, loathsome raw milk and fed it to my family, but I didn't take it away from you? You can drink pasteurized milk and homogenized milk if you desire, and I think you have a right to do that. And I want to protect your right to make that choice. Would you do the same thing for me? Could I please have the right to choose dirty, unpasteurized, unwholesome, rotten, no good raw milk for myself? Could I make that choice? I know it's not wise, and I know it's not good, and I know it's bad for me, but could I do it anyway, like smoking a Marlboro? Could you just butt out of my life and let me do what's bad for me in my own self-interest? It's a wild new concept called freedom of choice, unknown here in America, but I would like to reintroduce it. Freedom of choice. Acres asks this question, what is this stuff we buy in the grocery store? Is it still milk? Fallon answers, you know, that's a good question. Is it really milk? I think you could make a very good case that it is an adulterated product. The process of pasteurization deforms, denatures, and breaks up the proteins in such a way that the body thinks that they are foreign proteins and mounts an immune response against them. All of your energy then is going into fighting these foreign proteins rather than getting any nourishment from the milk you drink. Another big concern of mine is what they're feeding these cows and what comes out in the milk. Now, any mother who is breastfeeding knows that what she eats will affect her baby. If she's eating allergens, then the baby will have a rash or something, and it is just incredible that we're giving to these cows in the confinement dairies. Acres asks this question, is this the reason that we hear about children who are lactose intolerant when they get grocery store milk, but when they move over to fresh milk, all of a sudden they aren't lactose intolerant any longer? Fallon answers, well, lactose intolerant is kind of a catch-all phrase, which means they don't do well, or they get sick from drinking commercial milk from the grocery store. It could be lactose that they're reacting to, but it could also be the casein, but it's just as likely that it's some kind of allergen or poison coming through the milk because of the hormones, antibiotics, and the feed given to the cows, starting with soy, which can introduce a lot of allergenic proteins, GMO grains, which are much more susceptible to mold and hence aflatoxins and citrus peel cake, dried citrus peel that's left after they make juice, and they use some of the most potent neurotoxic pesticides on citrus. And this is in the peel that the cows eat, and then it comes through the milk, which you buy in the grocery store. Acres. And there's estrogen from the soy feeds, I suppose. Estrogen. Fallon, yes, absolutely, estrogen from the soy. So you can really make a good case that commercial milk is, in fact, an adulterated product. Akers asks the question, well, you mentioned GMOs. To what extent does feeding genetically modified organisms to dairy animals, how does that affect the milk? Fallon answers, well, I'm not an expert on this topic, but my concern is things that you're reported or you have reported in Akers USA about genetically modified organisms. And that is that they're much more susceptible to rot and mold, so you end up with aflatoxins, which are very strong poisons. Akers asks this question. Those have certainly shown up in a lot of food products, especially for pets. Fallon, yes? Interesting. The other strategy that I think we need desperately right now is a right-to-farm legal defense association along the lines of the Homeschool Legal Defense Association. Basically, this is like a legal shield for farmers. In other words, any farmer who, that is any small farm, who would pay $100 a year into this fund. And then if he gets a visit from the inspectors or whatever, he simply calls his lawyer, and the lawyer talks to the inspector. This is how the Homeschool Legal Defense Association works. Now, there's over 1 million of these homeschooling families, and they pay $100 a year into the defense fund. Altogether, there's about $100 million a year going into this fund, and members just call their lawyers when they get a visit. This has really put homeschooling on the map. No state dares go after homeschoolers anymore because they have this legal clout. We need the same thing, and we need it now more than ever because of these proposed regulations that would go after not only raw milk, but backyard chicken farmers or anyone who doesn't want their premises registered or doesn't want to put surveillance chips in their animals. Well, I'm going to pause here for a moment and make an observation here because, while it's true that this defense fund for homeschoolers has produced a boon in homeschooling, I got to ask the question, have Americans become so incompetent that they're unable to talk to a government agent? I mean, think about it for a minute. Here's a lady, very intelligent and articulate woman, you know, probably about 40 years old or so, got little children, and she's an advocate for raw milk. Well, I'm an advocate for raw milk. I produce raw milk. I drink raw milk. My children were raised on raw milk. By the same token, I'm not opposed to the lobby that has introduced pasteurized milk because I think we should have freedom of choice. I think that people should have a right to choose pasteurized milk or raw milk. It's a wild concept. I know. It's really off the charts. I'm not trying to do away with pasteurized milk in the same way that the dairy associations are trying to do away with raw milk. But, you know, if you stop and think about it, it's competition, isn't it? Competition. You know, if raw milk is superior to pasteurized milk, then more and more people, when they drink it, they use it, they give it to their children, are going to reap benefits that they don't get from pasteurized milk, and as a result of that, they're going to drink more of it, which means then that the Mid-America dairies and the dairy lobby and so on are going to lose money, and so they want to abolish opposition. So they've gone to the Congress, is what they've done, to get this pasteurization homogenization legalized. And then they went a step further and they said, well, not only is this pasteurization and homogenization superior to raw milk, we want to ban raw milk. And in many states, it's been banned. Not every, not all. You know, the raw milk where you live is just about as accessible to you as is homeschool. I mean, it's there. It requires some effort. It takes some time, effort, and energy, and you can accomplish your goal. You don't have to send your children to public school, but most people don't know that. Furthermore, it's easier. And when it comes to ease and good taste and a price, people can be motivated to do just about anything. Now, the idea that you should spend $100, join this association, so that this lawyer can come and speak for you, you know, to my mind, is just outside the realm of reason, logic, and common sense. Let me tell you a story here. I got a student down in Florida, and he doesn't milk very many goats. He's in the goat meat business, but he has a few goats that he milks. Not many, but a few. And he's got 10 or 15 goats, and he's milking these goats, and he sells that milk. One day, the dairy inspector comes by and informs him that in Florida, it's against the law to sell bovine milk, and that if he doesn't cease and desist immediately, that he's going to write him up and he's going to prosecute him and take his goats and his land and farm and everything and throw him in jail and do all kinds of bad, wicked, terrible, awful things to him. Now, this student that I'm telling you about is one of my graduate students from my law school. He in fact, in his real life, he's a grocery store owner, and he sells pasteurized and homogenized milk out of the dairy case. And then he sells processed and packaged foods, you know, to the consuming public. Now, he doesn't eat processed packaged foods, and he doesn't drink that pasteurized milk that he sells to the general public, but, you know, that's what the public wants. I mean, let's be intelligent, realistic people. About 90% of the people of America want pasteurized milk. Only about 10% of us don't, or about 12% probably. And those are the people that are into the organic food movement. About 12% of us are into organic foods. And, of course, those of us that are in favor of organic foods, other than a few vegans out there that are opposed to milk in any form or animal products, you know, I would say that, you know, 10% of us, round numbers. And so here's this dairy inspector comes by and he threatens him. And so Larry told the guy, he said, well, I'm not milking any bovines here. And he said, there's the gate and don't let it hit you in the hind end on your way out of Dodge. And if you come back here again, you and I are going to get into it. And the guy threatened him. He said, you're going to be in court and you're going to be this, that, and another thing and so on. And the dairy inspector left and Larry informed me, he said, never heard from the guy again. Never heard from him again. Now, most people do not have the gall to talk to a government agent like that, you know, but, you know, the government agent standing on your property and threatening you. What would you think if I came onto your property and I threatened you like that? Just Joe Sixpack. Well, excuse me, but why then does a government agent have greater latitude or greater privilege to come onto your private property and threaten you? See, I don't think that's right. I don't think that that ought to be tolerated. Now, Americans do it because they're fearful, and they're fearful because they're ignorant. This same dairy inspector, same guy, goes down the road to a lady who has 27 goats. Now, she's not a big operator, and she's not, you know, she's not threatening the safety of the milk supply of Florida, but she's milking 27 goats, and she's selling this milk on the market. Now, this same dairy inspector comes over to her house and does the same thing. He threatens her with lawsuits, and we're going to put you in prison, and we're going to raise hell with you, you know, if you don't cease and desist. She said that to Larry. She told Larry that she could not stand that kind of intimidation, and so she closed up. Now, for a lady like that, perhaps this $100 a year is money well spent, because it's pretty obvious that that lady could not withstand that kind of intimidation from a government agent. So she closed her door, and she took her 27 goats. Now, a goat gives about a gallon of milk a day if they're pretty good goats, you know. So there's 27 gallons of milk a day. Now, 27 gallons a day times $3 a gallon, just, you know, be pretty cheap about it, is about $80 a day. About $80. That's $80 a day that the dairy industry is not selling, because if those people cannot buy that goat milk, and if they want to buy milk, they're going to go to the grocery store and buy the pasteurized, homogenized industrial solvent that is called milk in the grocery store. And, you know, if you had 100, you know, let's just take 100 little dairies like her times 100, that's $8,000 a day in the state of Florida. Okay, now let's take that, you know, let's just assume that she's doing this every day, $80 a day times 100 dairies, that's $8,000 a day times 365 days, that's $2,956,000 a year. In other words, 100 little goat dairies with 27 goats would cost the dairy industry of Florida about $3 million a year in sales. So can you see the motivation on the part of Mid-America Dairies or Humboldt Creamery Association or Golden State Creamery or any dairy or associated business to drive these little operators out of business? And so they use the government to do that. Now, the key word here in Florida is the word bovine. A bovine is a cow, and a goat is not a bovine. It's not against the law in Florida to milk goats and sell the milk. It's against the law to milk cows and sell the milk raw in Florida. Now, there's ways around that. There's several ways that you can get raw milk in Florida, in Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, if you put your mind to it, and do it legally. I mean, you know, you got the real secret in law, boys and girls, is to code plead the statute and then figure out what does the law affect and what doesn't it affect, and then let's obey the law, but let's do what we want to do in the process of complying with the rule. That's all. So in Florida, it's one of those states where they've banned the sale of cow's milk, raw cow's milk, to the public. So if I'm a guy and I've got cows in Florida and I want to sell raw milk, I can't do that down there. I can't advertise and sell that. And so the solution is very simple. What you do is you come over and you say, well, Gordon, I want to buy some of that milk. And I say, well, you can't buy raw, unpasteurized cow's milk here in Florida for human consumption, but you can buy it for your cats and your dogs. And so I mark the container plainly pet food, and then you can buy this as pet food. Now, if you take it home and feed it to your kids, that's your thing in life. That's not me. Okay. So if you want to go to the grocery store and buy Alpo dog food, which is plainly marked Alpo dog food, then you take it home and you cook it up and put it in burgers and feed it to your kids. That's fine. I wouldn't recommend that, and I wouldn't do that, but then, you know, people, there are people out there that do that, and they think that Friskies is really good stuff, you know, and there again, you know, that's your right to choose again. It's that wild off-the-wall belief that I have that people should have a right to eat dog food if that's what they want to eat. I don't think that we should be packaging things and then holding back from people what's in the package. That's very common by multinational corporations, you know. They don't want to package this product and tell you that there's GMOs in it. They don't want to do that. But by the same token, they want to ban whole raw natural foods from the marketplace because 90% of the food that we buy here in America is processed. Only 10% of the food we buy is unprocessed. And the money is in processed foods. The money is in pasteurized milk, not in raw milk. And that's why we have processed, pasteurized, homogenized milk is because of the shelf life. That's what the big corporations really need in life is shelf life. You see, milk only keeps about 5 to 7 days. I mean, you got to get that stuff on the market right away. I remember one time I went into a grocery store and bought a quart of half and half. I brought it out to the motorhome and I poured my coffee. And I set it on there and I looked at the expiration date when I got it outside there. And the expiration date was September 12th. And I looked at that September 12th expiration date on that half and half and I almost choked. I said, oh my God, September 12th. And you say, well, what's so strange about that? It was May 4th. I mean, this stuff has a shelf life of 6 months. Called ultra-pasteurized. So I disposed of it properly. I poured it out into my septic, and then I disposed of it properly like I would any hazardous waste. I mean, I wouldn't feed that to a dog or a cat or a live animal. I think it's probably unhealthy. I sure as hell wouldn't drink it myself, and I wouldn't feed that to any other human being. But, you know, that's what's being sold in your grocery stores. I mean, that stuff's ultra-pasteurized, and it's got a shelf life of 6 months. I think that's something way beyond food. Now, Akers asked this question. They said the chip in the animal thing, though, is getting strong support at the state level, pushed along, of course, by the federal government. Fallon answers, well, right, it has to be passed on the state level, but they've snuck it in already in a couple of states. Akers, such as Michigan, for instance. Fallon, I think it could be challenged on constitutional grounds, however, but we need a well-funded legal defense association to do all of these things for us. And I wanted to, and I circled that paragraph, that answer. Why do we need a well-funded legal defense organization? Is it because Americans are so incompetent today, and especially American farmers, have we become so incompetent that we can't speak for ourselves, or that we can't research the law ourselves, or that we're unable to take care of ourselves, that we need guardians? Do you need a legal guardian to protect your legal interests and rights? I mean, I don't want to get in the way of your happiness and success. I mean, some of you people may actually be so incompetent that you need a legal guardian. And that's what a lawyer is. He's a legal guardian. For all people who declare themselves to be legally incompetent and unable to manage their legal affairs, I think that we would be better served if we became legally competent and managed our own affairs, especially our own legal affairs. Now, I'm not going to register my cattle, and I'm not going to register my farm. And I don't know if you should register your cattle or your farm. I'm going to cover that topic a little later when we get to the subject matter of this national identification. It's the NAI something, or the National Animal Identification Program. It could well be that most of you people should sign up for this National Animal Identification Program. I don't know what's good for you, but my conclusion is it's bad for me. I don't think I should do that. So I've elected not to, and I think that the solution to this deals with the takings clause of the Fifth Amendment. Now, it's just off the top of my head there, but I think that's the more correct methodology for dealing with that. And also, the First Amendment's protection against this thing called the Mark of the Beast, which we see in Revelation 13:16. I don't really, honest to God, believe that we ought to be out registering with a foreign alien god called the United States of America, our cattle or our children or our people or social security numbers and so on. I think that that's probably unscriptural, so I thought I'd point that out to you ahead of time. And then when we get to it, we'll talk about it in greater detail. But, you know, here's this lady, and she says, well, I think it could be challenged on constitutional grounds. However, but we need a well-funded legal defense association to do all these things for us. And I would like to suggest to you that you do this for yourself. I'm not going to hire a lawyer. I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to defend my rights, you know, my God-given obligations to do this myself. I think I'm competent and capable of handling that. I can talk to government bureaucrats. I can talk to judges and other attorneys. And I never went to college. And I'm a high school dropout, but I don't have a problem talking to federal judges and federal prosecutors, appellate court judges. I've had occasion to talk to a few appellate court judges from time to time and make a presentation and to say, here's why I'm doing what I'm doing, and here's the law concerning that, and here's why what I'm doing is perfectly acceptable under the laws and the Constitution of the United States. And the judges agreed with me, and I walked out, and everybody left friends, and we were all civil about it. And I got to tell you a quick story here. One time I had a lady come in here, and this is a government agent. Now, I want to point out to you that not all government agents know the law very well. Remember, I told you the story about the milk inspector. He didn't understand the difference between a goat and a cow. He didn't know what a bovine was. He thought that a goat was a bovine. Now you're going to be faced with this, you know, for the rest of your life, that not everybody is as well informed as you might be. I had a census lady come by here. It was in the year 2000, and she wanted to know how many people lived here. And I told her, there's the gate right over there. Don't let it hit you in the hiney when you leave. And I'm not going to tell you, and I'm not going to give you any information. And she really got upset. She said, it's the law. Just like this milk inspector, it's the law. And I said, well, wait a minute, hang on a minute. Before you leave, could you tell me what law that is? Because, you know, I certainly don't want to violate any laws. And she didn't know. Now, I thought, you know, that the census lady, you know, if you're going to come here and you're going to tell somebody that this is the law and it requires your obedience to it, that they ought to know what that law is. So I suggested to her that perhaps it was Title 13 of the U.S. Code, Section 221 through 225D. And she didn't know. I said, that's it. That's the census law. And I said, I think I'm in 100% compliance with the census law. If you could point out where it is that I'm not in compliance with that law, I'd certainly appreciate your help, and I'll do everything I can to comply with it. And she left. I never heard another word from her. She never called back. She didn't, do jack diddly squat. And so I assumed that she must have agreed with my position, that, in fact, I didn't need to participate, and that maybe she'd made a mistake. Maybe when she got to talking this over with her supervisor, maybe they came to another conclusion. Here again, I found that I can talk to dairy inspectors, building inspectors, other lawyers and U.S. attorneys and federal judges and federal appellate court judges, and I can talk to government officials from my local sheriff, up to, the attorney general of the state. I talked to him one time. He and I had a little controversy over something, and his name was Jay Nixon, and here the attorney general of Missouri some years back, and we had a controversy. Walked in there. I had a little controversy one time with the department. I see it's called the Bureau here in the state, the Bureau of Vocational Education. They had a complaint about my school here, and I said, well, raise it. Let's go litigate. Let's go bring it in front of a judge, and let's see what he thinks about it. Again, when this lady says we need some lawyer, a legal defense fund, to do all of this for us, I take exception to that. Now, I think that you'd be better off if you could speak for yourself. Speak for yourself. And let me give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. If you'd like more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. And the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. I want to underline this agricultural law. We're pretty familiar here with agricultural law. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has a radio log schedule and archives, and it can be accessed through the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. And the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements and recommendations that we give out, however, do not mean that those authors or publications that we endorse or recommend are going to reciprocate. And that's because most of these authors and publications that we cite or use here on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint is not totally endorsed, in all cases, by the Law Hour and editorial review. The opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertiser, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we are looking at an interview called Real Milk for Real People, published in Acres USA. This is the May 2006 issue. Let me give Acres a plug here. We have four pretty good articles here in this May issue. And if you want to subscribe to the Acres publication, we do here, and we recommend it highly. And you could go to Acres. They've got a phone number here someplace, if I can find it. Let me flip over another page here. Yeah, here we go. They're down in Austin, Texas. Austin, Texas. And they got a phone number. It's 512-892-4400. That's 512-892-4400. I'm just going to give you their phone number because I think it's easier to pick up the telephone than it is to take a lot of air time and tell you about their fax and their snail mail and their address and all the rest of it. I'll give you their phone number here at the end of the program here. If you didn't quite catch that, get your pen and paper out. At the end of the program, I'll give you another number there, telephone number. Well, Acres asked this question. They said, well, in scouting out the sources that you're publishing on your Internet site, you have undoubtedly made contact with a great many dairy farmers. Have they conferred on you the information of how they make this work economically? And Fallon answers the question. She says, well, it's working beautifully. They're getting anywhere from $4 to $12 a gallon for their raw milk, which is 5 to 15 times more than they would get selling it to a milk pool. It's So I put that down here, $4 to $12 a gallon. And I want to point out that word dollars, $4 to $12 a gallon, and that these people are engaged in commerce, C-O-M-M-E-R-C-E, commerce, and that when they do that, they come under the Commerce Clause at Article 1, Section 8 of the Federal Constitution, which gives Congress the power to regulate anything and everything that comes under commerce. So if you want to know why the dairy farmers of America and farmers in general, and not just dairy farmers, but farmers in general, and in fact, all of us have a problem with government intervention in what we're doing, it comes under the Commerce Clause. And commerce is the exact opposite to property and property rights. So when you're wondering why there's a dairy inspector comes along and knocks on your door, or why there's a building inspector, or why there's this or that inspector, what he is inspecting is the commercial use that you're putting your products, your goods, or your services to. That's what he's inspecting. And he's regulating and controlling you under the Commerce Clause. So if at any time you get tired of having government inspectors knocking on your doors, and I'm operating a law school, I'm operating a school here, and I don't have any inspectors, none. I had one inquiry from our Bureau of Vocational Education here in Missouri about 10 years ago. I had an inquiry, and I answered their inquiry. I was able to speak for myself. I didn't need a legal defense fund. I didn't join the private school legal defense fund over here. I just wrote them a letter. I sat down here with a pen and paper, just a ballpoint pen, and wrote this impressive Bureau of Vocational Education letter. And I said, well, no, here's what I'm doing, and here's why I'm doing it. I'm not engaged in commerce. Now, I want to emphasize this for a moment, because if you're a farmer and you're engaged in commerce, you're going to be regulated and controlled, and you better go register your farm. This National Animal Identification Program is going to affect every farmer in America that's engaged in commerce, and as far as I can tell, just about all of you are engaged in commerce. If you don't want to register your farm, you better get the hell away from commerce. Now, I'm not engaged in commerce. This school is not a commercial school. It's not engaged in commerce, and I'm not a commercial farmer, and I'm not engaged in any commercial farming activities. I avoid commerce like AIDS, herpes, and VD. I stay as far away from that as I can get. It's a criminal endeavor to start with. It violates the scriptures, violates the law of God, violates the Ten Commandments to engage in commerce. I know everybody does it, but then, you know, you got a lot of people out here that violate the Sabbath, but you know the Fourth Commandment tells you not to do that. You got a lot of people that are out here using unjust weights and balances, but you know the scripture tells you not to do that. There's a lot of things that we find in the Bible that God has told us not to do that we're out here doing, and we do it every day and have a good time at it. That doesn't make it right. It just means that everybody's in violation of the law of God. And so I just wanted to point that out to you, that when you use the word dollar over here, a D-O-L-L-A-R, now that's a commercial instrument created by the Congress of the United States. It has a definition, has a meaning, and there are laws and there are court cases that regulate and control this thing of commerce. And the trick to doing all of this is to obey all the laws of the United States and all the laws of Missouri and all of the laws of God, and to do all three of them simultaneously. And when you do that, under our constitutional form of government, you'll be amazed at how many freedoms are opened up to you when you obey God and keep His commandments, and then you apply the law of God first, and then the law of the United States second, and then the law of Missouri third, and then the laws of your county fourth, and the laws and regulations and ordinances of your city sixth, and you do that under the First Amendment's Free Exercise Clause pursuant to Seeger versus U.S., I think you'd be amazed at how many freedoms are opened up to you again that we have enjoyed as Americans from 1787 until today. And when people call me and say, well, they're from the People's Republic of Michigan, I say to myself, well, there's a man engaged in commerce, being regulated and controlled by the BATF and by the IRS and the OSHA and EPA people. And yeah, he's just really bummed out in the People's Republic of Florida and the People's Republic of New York, but he's brought it on himself by dealing in commerce. Now, Acres asks, so they become solvent. They're talking about the prices now for raw milk. Now, for you dairymen out there that are getting paid a buck or a buck and a half, a hundredweight, you know, for milk, and all of a sudden, here's a guy that's getting, it's not a hundredweight, it's a dollar or a dollar and a half a gallon for your milk. Here guys that are getting paid $4 to $12 a gallon for raw milk. I know a guy out in California that buys raw milk and pays $4 a quart. Now, that's $16 a gallon for his cats. He's more concerned about his cats. He doesn't have any children. Most of you people out there aren't even concerned about your children. Here's a guy that buys raw milk for his cats, for crying out loud. And that's because if you're I got to pass this one on to you. And that's because if you feed pasteurized milk to your cats in four generations, they'll become sterile. Did you know that? I don't know what it does to human beings, but it turns cats sterile in four generations. And so here's a guy that's more concerned about his cats and their reproductive capacity, and so he's feeding them raw milk. Pays $16 a gallon for it. $4 a quart. So these raw milk producers become solvent. And Fallon says they become solvent, especially if they're doing other products as well, such as eggs, chicken, and beef. And this movement has saved a lot of farms, a lot of farms. So if you're a farmer and you're being threatened over here, you know, have you ever thought about maybe getting out of commerce and getting out of the agricultural program and getting back to private property again? You know, if you'd stop practicing communism, practice private property and the Ten Commandments in place of public property or public license businesses and profit and gain in commerce, that you might do better. We did when we practiced the Ten Commandments in this country. We did better than when we practiced communism. It's just a thought, you know. Now, Fallon answers this question, but what can you do when the state comes after you the way they do, say, in Wisconsin? Now, I got to tell you a story. Up in Wisconsin, I got a letter here. It was an email. This guy had been raided by the milk police up in Wisconsin because he's selling milk here to people, raw milk. And of course, here's what the answer to that riddle is. The reason that the state comes after people selling raw milk is because they don't want the competition. They are stamping out competition, and they do it through law. So the milk producers, they go to the legislature and get laws enacted that prohibit you from selling raw milk in commerce. You can sell raw milk privately, but not in commerce. And these people don't know how to deal in private business. They only know how to deal in commerce, and so they go out and they're dealing in dollars and they're advertising. They're just doing all these things that everybody else does in violation of the law, and then they get into trouble, and then they send me emails, and they want to know, well, but don't I have constitutional rights? And the answer is no. There are no constitutional rights under the Commerce Clause. You know, you can be a whore, or you can be a virgin, but you cannot be a virgin whore. Can you grasp that? All right. Now, you can deal in commerce or you can deal in private property, but you can't deal in private commerce. There's no such thing. It don't exist. There's private business and there's commercial business, but there's no private commercial business any more than there are virgin whores. All right, so now if you can understand that little legal syntax there, what can you do when the state comes after you the way they do in, say, Wisconsin? Fallon answers, well, what they've done in Wisconsin is to set up a program. It was approved by a judge in which dairy farmers form a corporation, and they have shareholders in the corporation who get their milk from it. The shareholders pay a fee every month for maintaining the herd or milking or whatever. Then they come to the farm store to pick up their own milk. This is working very well. My understanding is that right now there are 5 medium-sized dairy farms with something like 30 cows each doing this in Wisconsin, and it's been extremely profitable for them, and it saves the farms, and not only that, but the children there want to stay in farming. All right, now there's one methodology. It's not the only, but it is one methodology for selling raw milk. Now, selling raw milk in America today, in not all states, but in about half of them, is about like selling marijuana, cocaine, and heroin. And the government will come after you with the ferocity that they use when they come after drug dealers. And you see, the government isn't concerned about drugs. They're concerned about illegal drugs. Here's an interesting little statistic. I just got this the other day. 82% of Americans are on drugs. Did you know that? One prescription drug, 82%. If you're 65 or older, the average goes up to six drugs you're on. Then when you average it all out, and then, you know, the six that the average guy that's 65 or older is on, plus those that are under 65, it's 82% of Americans are taking at least one prescription drug. That's the statistic. Americans aren't opposed to drugs. America is a nation of drug addicts. Drug addicts. And the government is opposed to you lay people out there buying your drugs anywhere other than from the major pharmaceutical companies. They do not want any free enterprise in the drug business. It's a monopoly that is created by government for the benefit of government and the pharmaceutical industry. That's why we don't want cocaine, heroin, and marijuana out here on the streets. But it's not because Americans are opposed to drugs. Americans are all drug users. Well, all but 18% of us. No, I don't use any. And there's 4 members of our family, and we don't use any drugs at all. None. But we're just a part of a very small minority. Well, the same thing is true here with milk. About 12% of Americans are into organic foods. And so I can extrapolate out and say that about 12% of Americans want to buy raw milk. Now, that's not quite true, because most of the people that I run across anyway, or that I've observed, most of the people that are into organics are vegetarians or vegans even, and they're opposed to meat and dairy products in any way, shape, form, or manner. So of the 12% that are into organics, there's a smaller percentage that want to drink raw milk. And most of you people out there that are into drinking milk at all, which is a smaller number of people every year, the dairy sales are going down 1% a year, have been since 1970. And I'd say that's probably a good thing, because this solvent, this chemical glop that you call milk that you buy in the grocery store, I think is unsafe for human consumption. And I'm not alone in that belief. There's quite a few others, and we'll cite those as we progress along here in this story, Real Milk for Real People. And the story of raw milk versus pasteurized milk. But I just wanted to point out to you that there are dairies, there are people like myself and others like me, a small minority, maybe it's 5% of the people of America, now that's not very many, 15 million people in the country out of 300 million, that want to buy raw milk. We want to buy it, and we want to be able to drink it and use it, and we don't want to be called criminals, and we don't want to have to sneak around in dark alleys, you know, like drug dealers do. We'd like to just be able to walk into the Albertsons store or the Walmart store and walk down to the dairy case and pick up a gallon of whole raw milk. We used to be able to do that in this country. We can't anymore, but you know, we used to. And I would like to know that that whole raw milk doesn't have GMOs being fed to the cows. That's another problem that we have. Or that they're not feeding them antibiotics. And in fact, I'm even opposed to drinking Holstein milk. I don't like Blue John at all. Those Holsteins, those are the black and white cows. It's the only cow in America. It's the only cow I ever see pictured is black and white cows. Did you know that there were other types of cows other than black and white cows? I don't think the average guy knows that. I milk Jerseys here. I don't have any Holstein cows at all. And that's because I don't like the milk that they produce, even if it's raw or certified or good milk or clean milk or organic milk. If it's Holstein milk, I don't want to drink it. But there are little dairies around, and there are in every state in the union. You know, you can educate your kid at home. You do not have to send your child to public school in any school in America. Did you know that any state in the country, you could, there's an alternative. And you don't have to drink pasteurized milk. There's an alternative. You can drink raw milk in Texas. You can drink it in Wisconsin. You can drink it in Florida. It's a little tougher in those states, but it's not impossible. And if you'd like to know how to do that, then why don't you go here to Acres USA? That's the place to start. I told you I'd give you their number again. I'm going to do that right now. Acres. Why don't you call them on the telephone first? It's easier for me to give you their number. It's 512-892-4400. It's easy enough to remember. 512 is the area code. 892, might have to write that down, 4400. And then they can probably tell you, this is the May 2006 issue, so be sure to write down May 2006 so that they've got a place to go to and tell them that you'd like to get more information about real milk for real people. And that crazy lady, Sally Fallon, she lives in Washington, D.C., and you'd like to get her webpage and you'd like to get more information about it, and I'll give you her phone number. It's 202-363-4394. It's an easy one. 202-363-4394, and we'll take it up right there next time on the Law Hour, an editorial review talking about real milk for real people, for a few of you crazies out there that might want to buy raw milk in your local area. And this lady, Sally Fallon, has a list of the dairies all over America, and probably in your state and close by where you live, more likely. All right, until next time, then, let me remind you that you've been listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the law school and the Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. And the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, go to our homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives and can be accessed through the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. I got to leave it right there. I got to see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course, until then. Good night, friends.